You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You hepcats and swing kittens, pull up your beanbag. Put on your beret. Grab that electric pipe. Put on that smoking jacket. And put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagen and Taryn P. Lupo.
I myself am not wearing a smoking jacket at the moment. I'm actually wearing a tank top and a pair of boxer shorts, looking very, very white trash like I do oh so well. I am Brian Hagen, along with that other Liberty Cat.
I am Taryn P. Lupo, and I am actually wearing sweats like, oh, I don't know, like a Goomba Italian. You know, I can't believe that I bought these sweatpants. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, okay, I'll wear them to the gym. And then I was like, man, these are really nice. They were like the upper echelon ones at Walmart. So they were a whole $13 instead of $7.
Oh, no.
And they have, like, pockets, and they look almost sort of like pants.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You actually wear these in public?
Well, no. They're not the ones that look like jeans. They're definitely sweats. They're just the upper echelon ones that have – they look like – what rich girls wear to work out in.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually have a pair of those myself. They're black. They don't have the elastic at the bottom.
Yeah, and they are so comfortable. I wore them for like a week straight.
Oh, no.
It was a terrible, terrible thing. But then I'm like, man, you know, you just can't do that. You can't wear sweats because it's kind of like those women who get over 50 and just cut their hair short and just give in.
Oh, yeah. You've given up.
I can't let myself cross that line to start living in sweats.
Do you remember that Seinfeld episode? I've given up, Jerry, because George shows up wearing sweatpants.
No, I forgot all about it.
That's yeah, he's got like sweatpants on and a polo shirt. He's like, I've given up, Jerry.
Well, you know what I did see are those – they're like a high-end sweatpants. They cost like $60 or $70 that look like dress pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't those look nice?
I see advertised on my Facebook. They look awesome.
Yeah. They've even got belt loops, man.
Yeah. They look awesome.
I wanted them
so bad.
I do, too. They look a lot like the Hagar dress pants I wear every single – almost like the same color. I always – like every day I wear the same – I have like five pairs of them. They're the same color, though. It looks like I'm wearing the same freaking pants, but I love the color. It goes with everything. It's like a dark charcoal heather gray sort of thing, and that's what the ones you're talking about look like, too. I've given up, Jerry. And I remember my doctor when I was a little kid had a conversation. He's since passed. He was a good doctor, old-fashioned doctor. I know we've talked about him here on the show before. Dr. Young was his name. He delivered me into this world. Well, anyway, Dr. Young, I remember, said to my mom about sweatpants. He said that's where the obesity problem began. Now, this was like back in the 80s. He sang this. He said, you know, before that, men wore dress pants and had to retain their figure to stay into their dress pants. Well, once sweatpants came along and everybody started wearing them all the time, they just let themselves go. There was no need to remain slim and trim when you had sweatpants on, you know?
Yeah, and they're so tempting.
Oh, they are.
I think as soon as you start becoming a heavy programmer or a gamer, you just start wearing sweatpants.
All the time.
You got your mountain of colas next to you, right? And your chips. That's what you live on.
Well, let me tell you this story. I was in exactly wearing nothing but the sweatsuit, man. And not the high-end kind either. I'm talking about the kind with the banded bottoms with the elastic on them, too.
Yeah, I have some of those because it's what I used to work out in. But now I'm like, I just love these so much more for $7 more.
Yeah, I saw the kind you're talking about in Walmart recently. They had camouflage, and they actually looked really cool. I'm like, I was actually almost tempted to buy them and wear them. I'm like, well, who's going to call me out for wearing sweatpants? They look like I'm wearing hunting pants, you know? It looks pretty manly. And I'm like, I can just keep getting fatter and fatter. I have two real quick stories, Taryn. Speaking of being fat, I put my shorts on for the first time because it's warmed up. I can't fit them anymore, man. I cannot button them.
I hear you. I've been wrestling with my weight for the last probably 10, 15 years just on and off because I used to be an athlete. I was actually in shape, and then I stopped playing, and start eating carbs, a lot of carbs, and catch us up.
Do you think that's the problem? Because I eat so many carbs, man. Bread is my thing.
Because, all right, I'll go play doctor. For your listeners that don't know, I was actually a chiropractor, and I studied a lot of nutrition. So I know what to do. I just don't do it myself like I should, and I keep back on track when I can. But it really almost all comes down to carbs. The calorie theory is just complete BS, that you could eat 10,000 calories and no carbs, and you will still lose weight. I mean, it's all about carbs, man. And carbs equal carbs equals carbs. There's like – in real life, there's really not much difference between, oh, this is a slow-burning carb and a fast-burning and the glycemic index and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
Once your insulin is shot and you're kind of like us, where anything you look at, you put on weight, you have to just be a carb Nazi. You can't – carbs just – you just can't allow more than like 20 or 30 a day or you just won't lose weight. So – that's kind of the way it is, you know, you'd either eat a piece of cake or white rice, and it's going to break down in your blood the same damn way.
So I'd have to give up cake? Oh,
no.
Man.
In other words, if you're trying to kill yourself for a low-carb diet, and you're like, oh, man, I got to eat, you know, wild rice and all this stuff, you might as well just go eat a piece of cake and have what you really want and then skip the rice.
Oh, I like that idea.
People torture themselves, and they go on these diets that they hate. But yet they're still really heavy carb diets. And you're like, you know, just have what you want and then eat good the rest of the time. Just kill the carbs everywhere else.
This is really good advice.
Yeah, go ahead and eat that cake. Just don't eat any other carbs that day, and you still probably will lose weight.
Dr. Taryn in the house. We had to set up some emails. I know that Allison was setting us up our own email account on our homepage here for the show, and we should take some Dr. Taryn sort of questions from those people trying to lose weight out there, Taryn.
Well, I'm currently losing weight, so I should look hopefully a lot different at Porkfest because it has to be – it's such a mental game, man. It is so – sugar's practically as addicting as crack. I mean, it operates the same center of the brain, and it's really hard to get away from because it's in everything. Imagine you have an alcohol problem and someone says to you, you know what? There's alcohol everywhere, and I know you have a problem, but you still got to drink alcohol at least 3 to 4 times a day to survive. You know, so if you have like an eating problem, it's like giving an addict, you know, telling an addict not to eat it, but, you know, make sure you eat 3 to 4 times a day. And it's really, really tough because it's everywhere, and sugar's just so bad for you, and it's so addicting. I think that's the main culprit, man. If you can just get rid of sugar, you will – and I'm a big fan of getting rid of wheat. Wheat is from the devil, man.
And I eat a lot of wheat products. I'm doing everything wrong, man.
Well, there's so many good alternative stuff for gluten-free now.
There's even a cupcake shop about 20 miles from where I'm at where they make like gluten-free cupcakes and all kinds of stuff. I need to check them out.
I'm telling you because – all right, the science behind it is everybody is kind of allergic to wheat to some degree. Now, there's some people like me that cannot tolerate it at all. Once I got off wheat, man, it was such a difference. I can't touch the stuff without swelling up and turning red now. Where I used to eat it every day, all day, and I loved bread. I was crazy for bread.
Oh, me too. Bread is my weakness.
And, yeah, man, bread and I liked chips. Chips,
crunchy
things.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So what happened, though, is – I forced myself to get off it because I was just feeling fat, bloated, and in pain. And after about 3 to 4 months of really – I mean 100% don't touch it. You feel completely awesome. And then what will happen is if you eat it by accident or you add it back in if you want to try some wheat, your body will just say, no way, you're not allowed to have this. And it will freak the hell out if you put it in you.
Really? It just rejects it like that?
It rejects it. What happens is eating it every single day is like a chronic inflammation. And it gets into the joints. It gets into everything. So if there's a lot of people running around there with rheumatoid arthritis and lupus diseases and auto-inflammatory stuff, that's really all caused by wheat. I mean, they just are eating something they're allergic to every single day for 20 or 30 years. If you don't believe me, cut it out of your diet for a month and then add it back in and see what happens.
I'm going to try this. What about nuts, though, Taryn? Can you eat nuts?
usually good stuff, man. Anything that's found in nature, you're usually good to go. I'm talking about there's two different things here. There's losing weight, and then there's eating healthy. And sometimes they don't match all the time. Like, you could do a lot of stuff to lose weight that isn't like a normal lifestyle. It'll work. It'll get you where you need to be, and then hopefully the idea is to kick over to a normal lifestyle you can handle. But if you eat enough nuts, it does have enough carbs in it to really throw you off. You know, if you're just eating a can of nuts every day, it's better choice, but it's still it's still all about the carbs, man. It's that simple.
Man, I've got a lot of work to do, Taryn, and I'll tell you, this Liberty Cat ain't feeling too good about himself now, because everything you said, I mean, carbs, I love carbs, I love sugars, I love chips, I love popcorn, I love all the bad stuff, I guess.
I do, too. And here's the alternatives, man. Here's what I suggest, because me and you kind of beat our bodies up, and we were in the same boat, is pick one thing to eliminate, either sugar or wheat. Go okay. for the big ones.
We'll continue this chat coming back on the other side of the break, Taryn. I find this fascinating. I also want to talk about the time I saw a guy who had truly given up and had gone to nothing but sweatpants. I think you'll love this little story. It's a sad tale of woe. On the other side of things to come right here this evening with your Liberty Cat. So hang on, dear friends.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
Salvation is just ahead, dear friends. That's why you're here today with us, the Liberty Cats. My name is Brian Hagen, along with
Taryn P. Lupo.
And we're talking about, well, number one, giving up and moving over to the world of sweatpants, something that, you know, one trip to Walmart, you see that on a regular basis. Everybody in there is wearing nothing but sweats and more sweats and maybe occasionally a tank top, but basically sweatpants. We're also talking about how sweatpants have ruined the world and have allowed us all to get fat, much like me, who's sitting here right now realizing I can't wear my regular summer shorts. So Dr. Lupo, as I'm going to call him for the rest of this show, is giving us some advice on how to lose that weight. But first of all, Taryn, I want to tell this terrible tale about a time that I saw a man who thought he looked really good in sweats and did not. Are you ready? Are you ready for this story?
I'm ready for this. Okay. I've been waiting all week.
Okay, here's the deal. As a reporter that I am in my day job, I occasionally have to cover the cases in a courtroom. So I was in the courtroom, the district court, for I think it was a shooting case we had. It was a pretty massive case. But before they got to that, they're going through a lot of the rigmarole of small things, you know. And in comes this guy, and he walks through the courtroom door, and it was his time to appear before the judge. And he is wearing a polo shirt that has, like, flowers on it, okay? First of all, that was pretty bad in and of itself, but it's a polo shirt, so he's kind of wearing something a little dressy, sort of, kind of. I then realize that this polo shirt is tucked into sweatpants of the exact same color.
Well, at least it had a collar.
Right. So, you
he
know,
blasted up with a collar.
Exactly. And you know, that's exactly what went through this dude's head. He got up that morning and he walked into the bathroom and he's brushing his teeth. And he thought, well, it's court appearance day. I better look good for the judge. Oh, I know. I'll wear the collared shirt tucked into the matching sweatpants. And you know that's how he left the house that day, Taryn. He thought that he was dressed to the nines for his court appearance.
See, being a fat guy, I know what really happened.
Really?
When I got fat, everything stopped fitting. And you were like, crap, I can't get in any of these jeans anymore and I got to go somewhere. It's the first time I've been out of the house in 2 weeks. I guess I have to wear these sweats. Maybe no one will notice. That's probably what happened, is he just doesn't have jeans he fits in.
Well, see, the dress pants that I wear, though, they've got those extended tabs on the side.
Ah,
let me tell you something.
Smart.
Oh, friends out there, if you're gaining some weight and your jeans aren't fitting right, abandon the jeans. Go to men's dress pants with the extend-a-tabs on the bands. It changes your life. It's wonderful.
Yeah, look how we're like, no, don't lose the weight. Just change your pants.
Well, Taryn, that's what I've done. That's exactly what I've done. I've gone to stretchy sort of banded pants, giving up my battle against weight gain. But you, dear friend, are telling me today that there's actually an opportunity for me to shed some pounds.
Well, this me and you are in the same boat. What happens, and people don't realize this, that are only like 20 pounds overweight. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the guys that are like 50, you know, 50 to 100 pounds overweight.
Right.
You got to pick one thing first, I think, because if you try to go into complete cold turkey, some people can do it, but most people just go into shock. The big two culprits are sugar and wheat. Those will make you the fattest and most miserable. I say you probably start with wheat. Just cutting wheat out, you'll unbloat. You're eating something that your body's mildly allergic to every single day, three times a week. And what you need to do is, there are so many good gluten-free alternatives. Now, if you don't know what gluten is a protein that's found in breads. And just like the name suggests, gluten, it kind of acts like glue. I don't know if you've ever wadded up. I'm sure you did this when you were a kid. Yeah. You took a piece of bread and you wadded it up into a ball.
Oh, sure.
And it was like this big gluey ball.
I still do that. I still do that with bread when I eat it. I wad it up and eat it like an apple.
Right. So you can tell it's gluey consistency. Like if you get that wet, it turns into like a white, nasty glue paste.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happens in your intestines. It glues down your intestines and it blocks absorption. And it constantly irritates the intestines over time. So if you want to switch over to gluten-free, the good thing about it is, man, they have products now all over the place that actually taste pretty good. Like I like this one company, Pamela's. Pamela makes flours that you can cook anything you want with.
Oh, wow.
And it tastes kind of like regular flour. You know, 5 years ago when you went gluten-free, it was terrible. It was, you know, you were eating stuff that tasted like cardboard.
Yeah.
But now the flours have gotten really good mixes and they taste pretty close. So you're not going to suffer. You just switch over to gluten-free and you'll be like, oh, it tastes a little different, but man, it's tasty. And then your body will just love you for stop eating it. And you would be shocked. Wheat's like in everything. It's in stuff you don't suspect. Like it's in soy sauce.
Really?
Yeah, you look at soy sauce. So every Chinese thing time you go out for Chinese, you're getting slapped with wheat because they're throwing soy sauce and everything. It's the first damn ingredient.
That's horrible.
So you have to buy the soy sauce that doesn't have wheat in it. And, you know, soy's not great for you anyway. I actually buy something called coconut aminos, which are actually made – it's like a soy sauce made of coconut. And it's expensive, but it's really tasty.
Wow, that's kind of interesting. I didn't realize that there were – well, number one, I didn't realize there was wheat in my soy sauce, but I didn't realize that there were actually alternatives out there now as well. And if
it's much, much easier now, man. It's not torture like it used to be.
That's very good news. I don't know, Taryn. I'm going to try to set myself on track to do the right thing and cut these out of my life. And if you're like me and you're struggling with this, make sure that you send Dr. Lupo an email. You can find the emails over on the homepage for this show. So just go over there and Dr. Lupo will he might even do house calls. Who knows? It depends on how good you are and just what you contribute. And speaking of contributing, Taryn, away from the weight loss for a moment, I'd like to have some money gain. And you, my brilliant friend, and I have put our heads together and we've come up with, this whole Bitcoin trend is very, very strong. And we've decided to enter into the field ourselves.
Right. For you listeners that don't know what Bitcoin is, it's like it's a currency that's a cryptocurrency that's online that you can trade on and off with. And I'm not explaining it very well. The Bitcoin people are dying that are listening.
John Bush is hating this show.
As simple as I can. But just Google Bitcoin. Most of you guys probably that listen to this know what it is.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is everybody's taking the code, the blockchain code, and they're creating their own coins. So there's another 200 coins out there you've probably never heard of. And there's things like, you know, Dogecoin, which is like a picture of a dog. You know, there's Namecoin mm-hmm. that you buy websites with. There's all these other coins. And all you need is a code and you can make your own coin. Now, the hard part is getting people to actually use it and put any value to it. So I was talking, and I heard Michael W. Dean mention this on his show, but it's something I'd been thinking about a while, is there's a dog coin, but there's no cat coin.
That's a good point.
Cats run the internet. I mean, how could there not be a cat coin?
You're exactly right. I mean, it's all kitties all the time at their keyboards programming this thing we call the interwebs. We are the Liberty Cats. It only makes sense that we need a cat-themed coin, Taryn Lupo.
Yeah, and I haven't figured out a good title, and maybe some of the listeners can put that on our Facebook page. Or I was thinking maybe Kitta Coin.
Oh, I like that.
You know, Kitta.
Yeah, KITTEHKOIN. How about that?
Or cats with a Z.
Yeah, cat's coin. That's good. Cats coin, yeah.
There is a meow bit, which Michael Dean, but that's not really a coin. It's like a plug-in. But I do like meow coin. But I don't know if he would think we're ripping him off.
Yeah, he probably would.
But he doesn't care.
Michael W. Dean, we're not going to rip you off. You're right, though. He wouldn't care. Michael W. Dean's a good guy.
Yeah. And what we thought is maybe we could be the top of the Ponzi scheme. That for any donations you guys have to do, me and Brian will be the only people that mine these coins for a while. So
right.
We have like 100,000 coins. And you can buy one for the low price of – what do you want to price them at? Like,
let's price them at $75.
$75, you want to make it so you can get in?
Yeah, let's do $75.
$75, you can be the proud owner of the Kitta coin. And we want to make all of our donations on our page, so they have to do that. They have to convert to Kitta coin.
This is a fantastic
just
idea.
Just for us.
We'll be the only ones in control of this whole thing. We'll be like the Federal Reserve of the airwaves. We'll be mining it. We'll be collecting it. I like this. But you're right, Taryn. The names are good, but we're going to need some help from our friends out there. We'll continue to talk about the possibility of a Kitta coin coming up next. I know we have some other things on our minds. To exactly what they are, I don't know. Let me meditate during the break, and I'm sure Taryn and I will come up with some great ideas. So hang on, dear friends. We're not going anywhere. We're your Liberty Cats. We might scramble up a tree for a minute, but that's it. Or into the litter box. Who knows? Hang on. We're coming right back. We'll be cleaning ourselves.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hep caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm, you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelligant to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and the Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
I love to flip my grip, especially on those nights when I'm sitting alone, drunk and lonely. I'm Brian Hagen, right along.
I'm Taryn P. Lupo.
And we are your Liberty Cats, man. Meow to everybody out there. I hope you got your scratching posts and your little balls to play with, because it's oh so much fun each and every time you join what I'd like to call the train wreck of the airwaves. But it's a train wreck that's oh so much fun to ride, Taryn.
That is true. Ride it straight to the ground, baby.
That's exactly right, man. And hope
we're on a race to the bottom.
Yeah, we are, and we're heading that way fast. I can feel us sinking. Hey, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of the great listeners out there who have, in our very brief ride here on Daily Paul Radio, made this show a huge, overwhelming success despite our failure of having any talent, Taryn.
None at all. We're just so winging this.
Yeah, we are. There's no prep, which is industry term for preparation leading into a show. Usually when someone does a show, they sit down and go, okay, well, we're going to talk about this and this, and let's see, the timing is going to be about here, and when we hit this mark, we're going to do not here. We're like, no. Hey, man, here, hit the record button and just start talking to the microphone, and that's what we do.
Your Bitcoin Ponzi scheme.
Exactly. Which we have a lot more to talk about with that, but we have exceeded the 7,000 download mark for the Liberty Cats.
Well, all right, for you guys that don't understand podcasting, most Liberty podcasts get maybe 50 or 100 downloads if they're lucky when they're starting out.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
We had over 1,500 live listeners to the first show and over 8,000 downloads already, and it's not even a couple days.
Wow.
It's been a couple days. So that's like ridiculous numbers for a new show coming out that nobody's ever heard of. That just goes on that the audience was ready to talk about Cats.
Exactly, man. I mean, everybody loves Cats. Everybody knows that Cats control the interwebs, if not the entire world. And it's been missing a show to highlight the brilliance of Cats. And we listened to you, dear friends, and we brought it to your airwaves Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursday evenings. So now it's all Cats all the time. Join with me as I wag my little tail in delight, which is rare for a cat. Usually it's in disgust, but I'm wagging mine in delight because I'm so glad to have all of you here listening to us. And you know, they say, Taryn, people tend to listen more to that which they hate than that which they love.
That's true. And it's funny that I'll hear these listeners on other shows, like Free Talk Live was always one of my favorite shows, and these people would call in and just complain about, you know, I've been listening to this show for days and I just hate it, and they've listened to it for days.
Yeah, exactly.
So they complain and get, you know, they're always tuning in to get angry. And I hope you feel the same way about us, that you get angry.
Yeah. I hope we annoy you. I hope we anger you. And I hope you keep on downloading all the greatness that is the Liberty Cats, as we are about to launch into a Ponzi scheme of goodness. We were talking about that before we took the break and before we, well, realized just how incredibly popular this weird little show is. And now, Taryn Lupo, we want to launch, and we had said earlier, we need our friends to help us come up with a name. It's a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, only it's going to be cat-themed.
I think it should have something to do with litter boxes.
Oh, I like that. Litter box for liberty? No, that's...
litter coins? Or...
litter coin? Poopy coin?
I've got actually an interesting fact about litter boxes, since we are talking about cats.
Please share that interesting fact about litter boxes.
Did you know that if you clean a litter box, it can actually make you a better lover and more of a man?
I did not. I thought it would just give me worms.
It kind of does. But there's a very, very interesting thing about parasitology that a lot of people don't know. When there's something called toxoplasmosis, which is actually this – it's a parasite that lives in cat poo. And you'll hear a lot of pregnant women are not supposed to get around cat poo, mm-hmm. because this thing can wreck a newborn baby, you know, an embryo coming up. So when you're pregnant, you're not supposed to change it because of this. But in men, it has a kind of an opposite effect. It actually increases your testosterone production. It makes you a lot more horny.
Really?
So you can actually be kind of a badass if you start playing with litter boxes in the sack.
Note to self, dig in litter box, become a manly man. Okay.
That's it. So there you go. Coat yourself with some toxoplasmosis. I mean, you might get a little sick, but totally worth it to be a man.
That's awesome, man. All it takes is spreading a little, pull a G.G. Allen and spread yourself with cat poop, and you're going to become a manly man and a manly lover. Wash the cat poop off before you hit the sheets with the lady, though.
That's true.
Depending upon what her...
Women, I'll say this. Most women do actually get turned on if you'll do some chores around the house, so cleaning a cat box might just get you laid anyway.
That's a good point there, Taryn.
Sometimes you just got to take it for the team and do it.
And I was going to say, some ladies do like poo. I've seen those German movies.
The Scheitzen film.
Exactly.
Hey. What about those, man? What is up with German people?
I don't know. And let me just say this about myself. And our good friend Susanna is always listening to this show. And I know that when we start talking about these topics, she goes elsewhere. So, Susanna, now's your time to go do some cleaning or cooking or whatever you do. You're right, Taryn. I mean, I'm a man of very hardcore taste, so to speak, but even I cannot handle the output coming from, and has been coming from for many years, out of Germany. They make the most bizarre adult underground films dealing with strange adult underground elements that I ever done did see.
I don't know what to tell you. I honestly, I'm not a porn connoisseur. I stopped. I'll have to tell you my first porn experience.
Yes.
I don't know if we can talk about it on air or not.
We need to hear this.
Oh, my God. It's a great story. All right. So We're, again, growing up in the 80s.
Adult content ahead. Adult content ahead. Very adult content. If you got the old kids gathered around the radio for the Liberty Cats, Mom and Dad, now's the time to put them outside and let them play and get some of them pounds off.
That's right.
Okay.
So they don't grow up wearing sweatpants.
Exactly. Kids are out the door now, Taryn. Back to your porn experience in the 80s.
Okay. So I have three older brothers, and they're much older. Like, I'm 10 years behind them on one of them. And so we're the first people on the block I knew that had a VHS. And these things were, like, retardedly expensive in the 80s. You're talking $2,000 in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Was, what, like $20,000 now. So,
and then it had the little remote that had the cord attached to it?
Yeah, it had the cord and everything, and it was this big clunk-clunk box.
Yep, loaded from the top.
On the top.
Yep.
Load in and clunk. Well, of course, my mom was super technically challenged and didn't even know this thing could record when you're, like, you could set it on a timer. Well, my brother figures out how to set the timer and is recording shows and doing all kinds of stuff. Well, what happened is there used to be a satellite company called Super TV, and it was before cable existed, really.
I remember this,
yeah. In the Northern Virginia area. And on the upper channels on Super TV was, like, five channels of different porn. And this was, like, hardcore unregulated porn. It's not like what it is now on Spice Channel. This was real porn. And so what happened was my mom dated a guy who worked for Super TV that gave us all the channels.
Oh, nice.
And she didn't know that we knew that we had all the naughty channels. And she thought we wouldn't find them or something. You know, she never mentioned it. Of course we found them. And so my brothers are watching this thing every day, and they're recording it. So at night we go to sleep, the VCR comes on, and it records. My brother somehow figured out how to stretch the tape to 8 hours, and it record 8 hours of porn.
Oh, wow.
and then the next night we get another 8 hours of porn. We'd fill up these tapes.
And this is going on while the family's in bed, right?
Right, while they're
okay,
asleep.
Yeah.
So my mom's out the door in the morning, my dad's at work, and, you know, we come down and there's porn. And so there was about an hour window before my mom or dad came home where we were watching ourselves, right? We were babysitting ourselves, and we would just watch porn. And I'm talking, like, I'm 7 or 8, and my brothers are watching this stuff, and all their friends start coming around. So we have, like, 20 kids in the house just sitting around watching porn. And I'm, like, 7 or 8, and they're telling me to watch the door. You know, watch for Mom. Make sure she doesn't catch us. And so, of course, I don't watch Mom. I go sneak in the room and watch the porn.
Right.
So by, like, I don't know, by, like, age 9 or 10, I'm completely ruined. I have no idea what a normal sex life is. Like, that's – I'm not even in 5th or 6th grade, and this is – you know, I'm like, I don't understand. The lady brought us a pizza, and nobody's having sex, you know.
Nobody broke out the anal beads.
Right? And, I mean, these were really bad porn. Like, you can't get this stuff anymore. It was totally unregulated porn back then. And for years – so there's the best part of this story is my dad brings back someone that he respects from work, like not someone he's trying to hook up with, like his friend. And she comes in at lunch and he's like, yeah, you know, you're thinking about getting a VHS. Check this thing out.
Oh, no.
So he hits play and all that comes on is a porn tape. And he's like, yeah, we recorded the Olympics. Look at the finger skating. It's play. It's porn tape.
More
and she's
means.
Like horrified. He's horrified. He can't figure out how to stop it. And that's how we got busted. My brother left the porn tape in by accident. And my dad came home at lunch to play it. And he played it to some poor unsuspecting woman. Oh my gosh, we still hear about this. He was so embarrassed. If you knew my dad, he's so straight-laced. Like, he was just mortified.
That's hilarious. It sounds like the plot to one of those bad teen sex romps of the 1980s, you know?
Yeah, something that would see this in American Pie.
Yeah.
Come on.
Absolutely. Oh, here, I want to show you the latest in figure skating. Oh, and anal beads are flying and juices are everywhere.
Dad can't figure out how to use the thing at all. All he knows how to do is hit play. Like, he's trying to turn it off.
That's just fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. It totally made him look like a skeezer. Like, he brought this chick home at lunch to show her porn.
That
he worked with. Oh, man.
That's a really smooth move. I've actually tried that on dates before. Taryn, you bring up a really good point there, though, just incidentally. You know, people think that now in the day of the intrawebs, all of a sudden, oh, the porn is rampant, and all of a sudden, kids 20 years ago weren't exposed to this stuff. Bull. I mean, we were watching this stuff back then, and like you said, some of that was even harder core than what you can find on the XNXX.
Well, I don't know, though, Brian, because it was like a lot of work. I mean, we had to get to a Playboy. You had to know somebody that had a tape when you were a kid, and you had to hide it from your parents.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, there was like a lot of work where now, especially during like the 90s or the early millennium, when parents weren't really hip to what was on the internet.
They thought
their son was upstairs studying. God knows what they saw.
Oh, he was studying, all right, but it wasn't books.
They have to be completely ruined. I can't imagine growing up in that era. You must have seen so much unbelievably weird porn by the time you're, you know, 13, 14, that I guess that's why the kids all are a lot sluttier now.
You know, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that because back in my day, like you said, you had to search for it. I had a neighbor friend who from somebody got a bag full of Hustler magazines. You know, you're talking hardcore for the time period, and we're sitting there going through the Hustlers and all that. But yeah, it's not anything like what the kids can find on the intrawebs if mom and dad aren't doing their job as mom and dad, you know?
I mean, it has to be totally bananas. I can't imagine what a kid can just type into a search engine and find with no real effort. And they've probably seen everything. You know, I would imagine there's a time period now between, you know, those horny days when you can't find any girls and you're not old enough to drive or date, you know, that horrible time from 12 to 16 where poor boys are tortured by hormones.
Right. When it used to be the JCPenney's magazine or the catalog. Yeah. And now it's just the interwebs. Speaking of hard work, Taryn, I remember we didn't have Cinemax. I remember sitting up. My mom would go to bed or she'd be at work or whatever. And I remember there when Skinemax would come on, Cinemax late night, and you would have that little knob. Do you remember the knob on the cable box that you would adjust to get the channel in just right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. You would tune it in.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Yes, you would actually have to tune in your cable channels back in the day. And I would sit there, and I would slowly and with so much effort keep turning that little knob just on the hopes that I could make the scrambled Cinemax picture stay on for all of like 5 seconds so I could see myself some naughty lady parts.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the scramble. I know exactly. Or you'd hear it.
Oh, yeah.
You could hear the noises.
You could hear.
See anything.
Yeah, and they were always showing movies like, and it's so funny, talk about tame, Lady Chatterley's Lover. That was one of the main ones they showed over and over again. What was that one about the gal on the horse? Can't remember what that was called. Lady Godiva.
Yeah, they tried to class it up. Do you remember who was in Lady Chatterley?
I do not.
Very famous. He is the original Batman.
Adam West?
Adam West is in that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think he's either in Lady Chatterley or Lady Chatterley's Lover. I can't remember which.
But I couldn't see him through the scrambled picture.
Yeah, they actually used to get real stars and stuff. Before it became just porn, when porn first came out, they were trying to actually compete with real movies. They were trying to make them romantic and...
Yeah, they would have
some sort of plot line.
I've seen some of those 1970s ones, even like when Ron Jeremy started out. He thought that he was going to be an actor. I mean, that's why he got into the film business. He didn't get in it because he was a skeezy, slimy guy. He got into it because he wanted to make some money by being an actor. And I remember watching one. He didn't even do – he was just like – he was in a role. There was nothing dirty about what he did. He was like the professor or something. He was an incidental character because like 30 minutes at a time, there wouldn't be any sex or any nudity or anything like that. It was like just a movie.
That was the whole idea. When they first came out in the 70s and 80s, it was considered a new genre that they were trying to figure out. And they were trying to make them like romance movies.
Yeah.
And for you guys that forget, there was all these really cool genres that came out and disappeared, like grindhouse movies.
Sure.
And the drive-ins. And for you guys that don't know, they had these things called grindhouses. And they were movies that would show independent film that stayed open 24 hours a day. So they were just real shady places and dives, kind of, where you'd go in and people are like sleeping and passed out and drunk, where nobody had anywhere to go. They would buy a grindhouse movie ticket and just sleep all day in the damn theater or have sex or mess around or whatever. And the grindhouse films were independent films that no company would actually put anywhere at the big theaters. So it was always some super crazy film.
Like really
great stuff.
Yeah, and it's Tarantino, greatly influenced by the grindhouse films. Hey, we're going to continue talking Grindhouse as we put the wraps on this edition of the Liberty Cats. We're going to do that coming up in just a mere matter of minutes, dear friends. So don't go anywhere. Jump in the litter box if you must. Have a break, and we'll be right back. Hang on.
Prepare to be annihilated as the Liberty Cats take on Truckzilla, Gravedigger, and the Dutch Oven live at the Terra Dome. The first 10 listeners to buy a ticket will get their own pair of chrome truck nuts. Tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at Daily Paul Radio. That's this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Thursday!
Those are the three most important days of your lives now, dear friends, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because those are the days when you're going to find me, Brian Hagan, along with
Taryn P. Lupo,
on the air as the Liberty Cats, bringing you a show of great importance. Let's see, on this show, we have tackled economic theory from an Austrian perspective. We have talked about the importance of child rearing. We have discussed the economy in regards to the Bitcoin situation. In fact, we've talked about none of that. I think we've discussed 80s porn, cats, and more 80s porn. Hey, I want to remind you, the Liberty Cats, if you think this is a train wreck, wait until you hear what we do Friday when we take over Angel Clark's show.
That's right. You should be able to hear it on this network. Oh, and we forgot the other really big announcement. That if you miss the 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time show of us, and you just can't wait to go play that on-demand streaming show, you can actually catch us again at midnight.
Yes!
We are the encore presentation for all you unemployed people, all you people that are too stressed out about money and can't sleep, all you stoners that get up at 11, and who am I forgetting here? Oh, and the gay guys. Oh, my gosh. My gay friends always used to go out. They would take a disco nap and then go out at 11 at night till like 3. Yeah, I was like, what's going on at 3 in the morning at a club? And apparently, yeah. So
I've been to those clubs. So, yeah.
Yes, right. Take your disco nap and catch us.
When you're on your way to the club, be listening to us. That what a great way to start your night out in the club, by listening to the Liberty Cats and then getting your grind and your groove on. So, hey, it's been another great show. Thanks so much for dropping by and hanging out with us. Again, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, you can catch us on demand. Download the show on Daily Paul Radio. Catch us again midnight Eastern time. There's a lot of Liberty Cats to be had, dear friends. And we're so glad to be sharing our insight, our brilliant insight, with you on these 3 days each week. So we can't wait until we talk to you again. For now, sharpen those claws, take a little roll in the cat box, and know that it's really cats that control the world. Until next time, meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio, revolutionary talk for revolutionary times, WGRR Digital.